Good morning, all. The meeting of Energy and Climate will come to order. We have minutes from February 28th. Representative Long, would you move those minutes?
I would. I do, Madam Chair. I'll move the minutes from February 8th.
Thank you. All those in favor of the minutes of February 28th, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? The minutes are approved. We're going to start our hearings with House File 1787. Representative Acomb, if you would come up and bring folks that you have with you.
Madam Chair, I don't know if you said, but do we know where 1787 is going? I'm guessing it's going to be going to higher ed, potentially, as a stop, or?
I have asked the higher ed committee chair if she wanted to see the bill, and I have not gotten an affirmative, and I've asked her twice, so I suspect it will just stay here.
Thank you.
So, Representative Acomb, with that, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. I would like to move House File 1787 to be laid over. And I want to introduce a couple of people that are joining me this morning. First is Mike Bertelsen with the university and also Shane Stemmis with the university. And so thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for the opportunity to present two related bills today. The first is House File 1787, the University of Minnesota Renewable Energy Transition. This bill appropriates $6 million to the University of Minnesota to establish goals and benchmarks for a rapid transition to renewable sources of energy in campus buildings and requests reporting to the legislature on their progress. As a proud University of Minnesota alum, I know firsthand the opportunities available at the Twin Cities campus. Not only is it a large campus with a diverse makeup of buildings, parking lots, and open space, but it's a forward-thinking organization where innovation happens every day. We've heard testimony in this committee about the importance of addressing climate change as quickly as possible. We've also seen the intense advocacy of young people for moving to clean energy sources. By addressing renewable energy at college campuses, this bill achieves the dual goals of reducing greenhouse gases and creating educational opportunities around renewable energy. Yesterday, the governor shared a vision of 100% clean energy for the entire state by 2050, expanding on Governor Pawlenty's earlier goals. As a technology leader in the state, this bill looks to assist the university to accomplish this transition and to lead the way for the state. The University of Minnesota has an energy budget of over $50 million annually, and generating more of its own electricity will save them future dollars that can be used for other educational needs. So with that, I'd like to introduce Mr. Bertelsen from the university, and he can tell us a little bit more about what they are doing, and then we'll take questions after that.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you today. Committee for considering this funding for the university to accelerate our transition to renewable energy sources, and we're excited to work with you and the legislature on this idea. The university has had a long-term commitment to sustainability, and specifically this topic. The Board of Regents set policy for sustainability in 2004, and we joined the Second Nature Carbon Commitment in 2008, making a commitment to reduce greenhouse gases emissions to zero as soon as possible. And then in 2011, we actually adopted a plan, specific plan for the Twin Cities campus to cut emissions by 50% by 2020 with a commitment long-term by 2050, as the governor just did, to get to zero for all campus buildings and transportation by 2050. While I'm talking now, Shane is going to show a little video of some of the on-site solar that array that we've just been putting up on campus, so you can see that. Renewable low-emission sources of energy have been a focus for the last few years, and we've finished a combined heat and power plant in 2017 that reduces our annual emissions by 10 to 12%. Renewable energy sources above and beyond the grid are now tied to a significant portion of the Twin Cities campus electrical consumption. In fact, almost 70 million kilowatt hours, or 20% of our campus use, is now powered by solar. Those renewable sources include community solar, voluntary renewable purchases through Xcel, and on-site solar generation, which you are seeing. We are also currently working on building on this progress as a member of the Minnesota Sustainable Growth Coalition with 30 organizations and businesses such as 3M, Target, Anderson, Best Buy, and General Mills within Minnesota, leading a transition to clean energy. We've also signed an MOU with Xcel for additional renewable energy supply through Renewable Connect, and are leading a partnership for renewable energy purchasing with other Midwest higher education organizations. We don't have a specific plan, as this bill has been somewhat new to us, for exactly how what we would do here, but we have a series of options that we are evaluating as you are evaluating the bill, including new renewable energy installations on campus, additional renewable energy purchases, or creating a carbon neutral campus district, a part of the campus. So with that, we'll end my message, and glad to take any questions.
And maybe before that, I should say that we do have, there's an amendment, yes. The A3 amendment.
Yes, if you'd like to move that amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move that amendment, which indicates that the appropriation maybe, and maybe I should be more specific, so on page 1, line 12, after the period, insert, this appropriation may only be expended on activities located within the electric service area of the public utility subject to Minnesota statute section 116C.779, subdivision 1.
And I understand that there is an amendment to the amendment. Is that yours, Representative Swizinski?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And this amendment to the amendment, I'd like to offer the A, would be the A7. And that simply deletes activities, inserts buildings, just because it's such a broad term, and maybe narrows it down a little bit, maybe helps the bill. So, thank you.
Representative Acombe?
Thank you, Representative. I think that what we were hoping to do is to allow the colleges some flexibility. So, for example, at the university, they have some that's over a parking lot, and in other places, they have it on buildings. And so, rather than being too prescriptive, we wanted to allow some flexibility.
Okay. Thank you.
So, that is... We do have that amendment. Are you speaking to the amendment, Representative Garofalo, or to something else?
Madam Chair, so my point would be to the underlying amendment, but is also relevant to the amendment to the amendment, but I can wait if you want me to.
Well, let's take the underlying amendment. Representative Acombe is suggesting a no vote. All those in favor of the Swizinski amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
No.
Okay, the amendment does not carry. Now we are on the amendment. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to either the author or to the testifiers. So the University of Minnesota, for example, has the Umore property down in Dakota County that's part of the U of M campus. It would seem that the language as it's designed with this amendment would preclude you from putting up a utility-scale solar installation down there because you're not in the Xcel service territory. And would kind of mandate that you would do a, because the Dakota Electric and Xcel service territory runs right through that area, it would seem this amendment would preclude you from doing the most, what as everyone knows is the most cost-effective way to do solar, and that is a large-scale utility. Is that your intent or is that an accident?
Yeah, thank you. I don't know that I would say it's an accident. I don't think the bill is going to be able to cover every opportunity. And so our intent with the fund, with the funds coming out of the renewable development account, wanting to ensure that they were also spent within that same area.
So, Madam Chair, and I think certainly I understand the intent of that, but also ultimately it's Xcel ratepayers that are paying for it in this case. It's the U of M as a ratepayer that's paying for it. Given that, I think we've taken testimony in this committee, I think everyone knows that rooftop solar over parking lots is far more expensive than a large-scale installation of solar on non-productive land. I don't think that's in dispute. I think we all agree to that. So is there a policy consideration for why we are seeing the most expensive way to produce renewable energy as opposed to the most a more cost-effective way?
I think that when you, as we've said, or as has been said in the past, when you look at the cost of any of the sources of energy, it's not just the cost of installation, but the improvements to the environment and getting rid of other sources like coal. And so I appreciate the suggestion and desire to want to do utility rate solar. I would be open to that as well, just not in this bill.
Madam Chair, and to the author, on the points you made, I'll just let those slide. But we're not comparing coal to solar energy. We're saying that when it comes to solar energy, in this case, we have a menu of portfolio of options: rooftop solar, which is the most expensive way to replace coal or natural gas. We have parking lot or commercial scale rooftops, which is still expensive, but, you know, they're on the tier. And then finally, large-scale installation. So large-scale, rooftop, and then stuff in between. And I'm wondering why we're seeing a series of bills, Madam Chair, that is focusing on rooftop and commercial-scale solar, and we're not even talking about the opportunities that are available to us to have carbon-free generation through hydro, through wind. And I'm just wondering, I understand the difference between coal and solar, but why would we be focusing on the most expensive way to reduce pollution, the most expensive way to build renewable energy, when we can achieve the policy outcomes of more jobs, reduce pollution, and more jobs and more energy generation in Minnesota in a more cost-effective way? Why would we do that?
If you, I think Representative Long would like to respond to that, but I would also note that we're giving as much, this bill gives opportunities to the U, and one of those opportunities is to use renewable energy as a teaching tool. And that almost says that it should be on the campus. So there are other things to consider. As a teaching tool, it's hard to put a cost on it. Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a question for our nonpartisan staff on the RDA account. Is it under law limited to being used in the Excel service territory?
Madam Chair and Representative Long, I don't believe it is stated that way in the statute, no.
Follow-up question, is there any intent that you can speak to in terms of the original drafting of the RDF around whether or not it was intended to be limited to the Excel service territory?
I really can't speak to that, no.
You could ask the author.
Where's the author?
Sitting right now.
Madam Chair, I think it seems to me the goal of this amendment is to not get into a debate about differing solar costs, but to be limiting the funding that's coming from the renewable development account to Excel territory, as I suspect Representative Mahoney would say if he were here. One of the goals, I think, of the funding that is coming from Excel ratepayers for the CASCs is to try to help reduce costs and promote renewable energy within the Excel territory. And so it seems to me that that's the goal of this amendment.
And Madam Chair, since I was the author of that bill that became law, perhaps I could speak with some authority on the intent of that. Is that the ratepayer in question here is the University of Minnesota. I don't know why we would limit them by mandating a more inefficient process. Unless, is there a dispute on that? Do people believe that large-scale solar programs are more cost-effective or less cost-effective than rooftop solar? I don't think we've taken any testimony on that, but maybe is that your position, Representative Long?
I'm through the chair, please.
Oh, Madam Chair, I'm sorry. Madam Chair, Representative Long.
Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo, I think that it is not in dispute that utility-scale solar is less expensive than rooftop solar. I think compared to what is always the question, and we know that solar costs are continuing to come down and likely are going to be cheaper than wind in the near term, and I think that that's also true for rooftop prices are coming down considerably. This bill is also not limited to solar. It's able to be used for energy efficiency and other purposes as the university sees fit.
Madam Chair, thank you for allowing the conversation, and I think you correctly pointed out that this is a one of the benefits to doing it this way is it's a teaching tool. I'm just not sure that hitting the ratepayers with a 300% higher priced energy is the way to do it. The testifiers in their presentation mentioned that, you know, participating in wind source and essentially buying renewable energy credits is a way that they could achieve the goal. And so if they're going to be doing that, obviously cost is a variable that they're looking at, and I'm not sure why we would add this bill to take what's going to be an expensive program and make it even more expensive. But that's, if you guys want to explain that, go ahead. If you don't, you got the votes, and I don't. So,
with that, I see no. Oh, was there a further question? I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. It was just brought up as a teaching tool, and just maybe nonpartisan staff or the author. But what would be the complete list of activities allowed by, when we tried to focus it in on buildings that didn't pass? But what would be the what would be all the activities listed that would be eligible? That'd be great.
Madam Chair, Representative Swinzitsky, I'm looking at lines 110 and 111 of the bill where it says the university is to establish goals and benchmarks and implement a rapid transition toward the use of renewable fuels. I think that's the focus of what the money would be spent on. Any teaching tools would be done outside of funding in this bill.
So it's simply the technology, not curriculum, not, yeah.
That's the way I read it.
I see no further questions. All of those in favor of the amendment say aye.
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 All those opposed?
Nay. No.
Amendment carries. Okay. Are there further, now that the bill is in the, with, has been amended, are there other questions? Is there other testimony?
Madam Chair, I think we have another, the A5 amendment.
Oh. I'm sorry, there is another amendment. Representative Swinzitsky, amendment A5.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to offer the A5 amendment. I'd like a roll call. This just simply, with the governor's new budget that will probably increase the educational cost on every student over $1,000 with his upcoming budget. We want to be able to protect students and their pocketbooks as much as possible. This ensures into law that utility rates and costs related to the energy for higher education does not go up. We've heard over and over that reductions will be 30%. Families will save $2,500 with this potential plan. This just locks it in the law that it will be guaranteed that students and schools of higher education will not pay higher energy costs because of this program. And ask you for your positive vote. Thank you.
Representative McComb.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. I think that the intent of this is absolutely to be a cost saver. And so while I'm not prepared to accept the amendment as it stated, I think that we can work to tighten up the language to ensure that that happens.
I see no further discussion. There has been a roll call. You did request a roll call. We will have a roll call on that.
Chair Wagenius?
No.
Representative Swinzitsky?
Aye.
Representative Acomb?
No.
Representative Baker?
Aye.
Representative Dierman?
No.
Representative Bowe?
Aye.
Representative Christensen? Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Representative Halverson?
No.
Representative Hornstein? Representative Long?
No.
Representative Mahoney? Representative Mecklen?
Yes.
Representative Stevenson.
So there's 6 nays and 5 ayes, and the amendment does not carry. Okay, now the bill is ready to be laid over. Is there further discussion? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you. Representative Grofflow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, and either to the author or to nonpartisan research, Minnesota has a rather unique definition of the word renewable. I know what renewable means, but for purposes of this statute, does renewable include hydro?
I guess it wouldn't preclude it. It doesn't.
Let's ask council if council can help out here.
Thanks.
Council?
Madam Chair, obviously there is no definition of renewable in this bill. There are several definitions of renewable in the statutes. So I'd say at this point it's unclear exactly which would fit under this definition.
Madam Chair.
Representative Grofflow.
Thank you. Madam Chair, and to the author, in your previous testimony you stated the intent for reduced emissions. Would it be something, I'm not going to offer an amendment today, but as opposed to that term renewable being used, would it be possible to maybe replace that with carbon free?
I think that could be considered. I think that there's room for the language to be tightened up. I'm not at this point willing to say one way or the other.
Madam Chair, and to the author, is there a goal? I'll leave that. Second question would be, and this is more for members of the committee than maybe the author, but in statute we currently have a process to appropriate from the RDA where we're supposed to get approval from the Public Utilities Commission, a panel. That's the way we're supposed to appropriate money from the RDA. And I'm wondering, it looks like we're bypassing that process by using this language. Is there what are the reasons for that as opposed to using the process that's in law?
I think we can ask council about that too, because the process as you set up had some holes in it. So if we can certainly change that by law this year if we so choose and think that the holes need to be cleaned up, but I haven't seen a bill to that effect yet. Council.
Madam Chair, I believe Representative Grofflow is referring to the expenditures under 116C.779 that are for the grant program. There's a long history of the legislature appropriating money out of this fund for other purposes, and I believe Representative Grofflow may have done so himself as chair in the past.
Let's not let that get in the way of a good point. Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate you allowing the conversation on this.
Okay. Representative Bowe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Akam, I like the thought of helping the U of M as a leader in our community to move forward, but my question is, do we know what the money will be spent on as far as working to establish goals? I kind of like the thought of putting the money toward, is that positive feedback or negative feedback? The possibility of looking towards spending the money on specific projects to start to make progress going forward instead of spending a lot of money on studies. I wondered your thoughts.
Yeah, so thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. I think the intent, as I've spoken to, is really to get more and new renewables at the university. And so it wouldn't be the intent that it's spent to be doing a lot of planning. The hope is that it would be implementation. And so I'll just leave that then.
Okay, very good. Yeah, Madam Speaker, I like that thought too of using $6 million as a way to make steps forward rather than just kind of sitting around and planning the route we might take at a later point.
Agreed.
Madam Speaker, Representative Akam, can you tell me also, is it all of the U of M? Is it specific buildings? You know, what is kind of the target that we would want to shoot for?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. The Twin Cities campus, I believe, is the only facilities within the XL territory. And so while there are many other universities and land that they own outside of that, it would be primarily the campus.
And those are all served by XL, is that right, in the Twin Cities campus?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Representative. Mecklen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a question pertaining to, are there any of the buildings within this campus are recently built or retrofitted for higher efficiency, what HVAC or anything like that?
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, we are on, we have pretty high standards for any new or renovation for facilities. So we do energy conservation at those times. In addition to that, we have teams that are working on retrofitting and recommissioning buildings sort of on an ongoing basis.
Madam Chair, is it currently being, are you currently using natural gas for like heat or any other appliances or sort for energy consumption there?
Madam Chair, Representative, natural gas is our primary fuel for heating the campus, as well as with the combined heat and power plant we've just opened recently. We use natural gas to fire the turbine, which creates 22 megawatts of electricity. And then there's a primary source for the boilers to heat the campus.
Madam Chair. So in this plan that you are going to put together, would that potentially include eliminating all of this relatively newer, possibly newer technology that you have where you're using gas to get rid of the gas?
Madam Chair and Representative, I don't believe that would be the case. No, I think the size and expanse of the campus is such that the $6 million, there's plenty of opportunities, and $6 million would not get to the place that it would eliminate that base capacity. Or
one more, Madam Chair. So you, the intent would be to leave the natural gas in place going forward?
Madam Chair, Representative, at this time, we're building plans, and we're imagining working on we're starting to draft a master plan, which I think will get us, hopefully move us off of that over the long term. But for now, this would not be sufficient for us to eliminate natural gas use on campus.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I see no other further questions, and so with that, we will lay over this bill for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I see Representative Loeffler here, and since she is not on the committee and everyone is rushing between committees, we will take Representative Loeffler and her bill right now and then go back to Representative Acombe to do her next bill. Thank you, Representative Loeffler, for coming.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair, for taking me at this point in time. House File 1570 is another step forward in our attempts to promote energy conservation and implementation of best practices in making our buildings energy efficient by establishing a Green Roof Advisory Task Force.
If you could, I'm going to move that House File 1570 be re-referred to the full committee with the recommendation that it will be referred to the Environment Policy Committee. And if you would now continue to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as we all know, conservation is a goal for all of our properties in Minnesota. It's one of our ways to reduce our energy usage and greenhouse gas emissions, as well as to promote the use of renewable energy whenever possible. And the Green Roof Advisory Task Force would be charged with looking at best practices and putting them together in one report. What we've heard is that first of all, green roofs, in addition to their energy conservation, if they are planted with plants, may also help with pollinator issues as well, which is another good win for us and the environment. But what we're hearing is from architects is that there's no one easy place for them to quickly assess the appropriateness of these types of roofing materials for a project that they're working on. And it's much easier to design a building to handle these structurally than to retrofit a building that's already been designed. And retrofitting is just much more expensive, and it's more cost-effective to start with that. And because of our unique weather, particularly this year with the polar vortex, we know that we have unique stresses on roofs that have oftentimes been much more extensively used in other parts of the country. And so the goal of this is to put together a group of experts to put together and consolidate information that can be accumulated in one place to encourage the consideration of these in appropriate building projects going forward. And with that, we do have a couple of testifiers.
I think there is, before we get the testifiers, I think there is an amendment to the bill, and is that Representative Swazinski's?
Yes, Madam Chair, just, you know, with any amendment, it changes the bill, that is stated. It's always good to have that conversation first before we would potentially change it. So I'd like to hear from the testifiers first, so that'd be fine with you.
Fine with me. If we could hear from the testifiers.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, I have no problem with the amendment. I think it's a good addition.
Thank you. Welcome. Sure. Introduce yourself. Hello, Madam Chair and Representatives. Thanks for having me. My name is Liz Lucenti. I'm the Program Director at MNSEA. That's the Solar Energy Industries Association, and we're a 501c6 trade association that represents the solar businesses in the state. We noticed we were written into this statute, this bill, as a stakeholder, so we're here today to just generally support the bill and where it's going, and we're happy to provide our expertise, as we have over 120 business members across the state and other valuable stakeholders who can inform the process. So thank you again, and I'll take any questions if there are any.
And I don't see any questions. We have a second testifier.
Thank you, Chair Wagenius, members of the committee. My name is Forrest Sear. I'm the Government Affairs Director at the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association, representing over 1,200 members who do, well, landscaping, nursery proprietary, growing things, you know, all of it. It's great. We are testifying today in support. I'm testifying today in support of House File 1570. Green roofs offer many benefits for energy conservation, stormwater management, pollinator protection, and greenery in urban spaces. As was, I believe, the intent of the author, we were looking to be included in the task force. I think that's going to be addressed at in a future committee stop or somehow. MNLA members do many aspects of green roof installation, design, as well as growing plants that are uniquely suited to the rather harsh climate we have here in Minnesota. So we do look forward to being part of the conversation, being part of the task force, as well as being able to implement the recommendations that the task force eventually comes out with. I thank you for your time, and I'm happy to take any questions if you have them.
I do not. Representative Bull.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm familiar with green roofs, and I know there's a lot of positive benefits, including cooler temperatures and reducing runoff and stormwater that has to be handled by infrastructure then. But I don't know that I've really seen solar be listed as part of a green roof in, by definition, before. So I was curious why that was installed or why that's included in the definition page here.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Bow. It's because both of these, well, sometimes you can combine them, but also both of these require oftentimes a structural component that you want to anticipate in designing and building a building. And so we felt it was good to put both of them together and have the task force reports address both, since we're seeing as a primary audience designers of new construction, new buildings, whether they're commercial or residential, and so that they would have one source that would talk about the pros and cons of different approaches.
Okay. Madam Chair, thank you. And that makes sense that there could be some structural engineering considerations because of the weight of solar and such. I've never seen any studies, but I wonder if adding solar to a green roof would make any difference on that roof's ability to absorb rather than reflect and things like that. And would it therefore change that roof's ability to reduce surrounding ambient temperatures and that sort of thing? I'm just not sure. I haven't seen any studies that would address that.
Madam Chair and Representative Bow, I'm not the expert on this, but we're going to bring the experts together. But I think if you look at some of the complicated buildings that we have, particularly the large-scale high-rises that we have in my city, in Minneapolis, where there's multiple layers, different exposure to the sun in different parts of the building, it might be that you'd have a combination of systems designed to take advantage of the site.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Baker.
Madam Chair, and I think I heard earlier that this might get referred to the Environment Committee. Will it also be on a pathway to government ops because of the Advisory Committee as well?
That is not my decision. You can ask the author if you'd like.
I'm sorry, Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair and Representative Baker, we'd be willing to go there. I know that government operations has a large agenda and has been selective. Since this is a short-term task force, I think they're prioritizing at this point ongoing responsibilities, but we'll confer with the Chair.
Thank you. I just know, Madam Chair, working with the opioid task force, it was a complicated, but it's an important stop. So I do hope that they squeeze you in, and it's important if you just determine these kind of things are important. So thank you.
Thank you. We still have an amendment, Representative Sisson.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And this is the A1 amendment, and this simply on line 3.5 deletes the word requiring. And then later on, it gets rid of the word to and inserts that. And if the author would like to speak on behalf of that, I appreciate that. So,
thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Sosinski. I did not intend to require this on any sort of building. This was to be a resource in designing them. So thank you for catching that.
So we have an amendment before us. The author has accepted the amendment, but we will vote on it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The amendment is adopted. Now, with that, I see no further discussion, and I renew my motion that House File 1570 be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with a recommendation that it be referred to the Environment Policy Committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Aye. The motion carries. Now we have Representative Colmigan. Thank you for allowing a slight change in our in the order of business. Representative Acomb, welcome. Would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would like to move that House File 1788 be laid over for possible consideration.
I understand that you have an author's amendment. Would you like to put the bill in the shape which you would like it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, similar to House File 1787, there are a couple of amendments. I would like to, on page 1, line 13, add the insert, this appropriation may only be expended on activities located within the electric service area of the public utility subject to Minnesota statute.
Okay, now there is an amendment to that. Oh, we're not going to hear that amendment. So I don't see any discussion. All those in favor of Representative Combs's amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? The amendment is adopted. Day three?
I just was asking.
Yeah, we just adopted that, but there was a decline to add the A6 amendment, which was you have in your pocket, so that was not offered. Okay.
So, Madam Chair, now that we've adopted that amendment, may I ask a question?
Sure.
Sure.
Representative.
Thank you. Madam Chair, and then for either the author or the testifiers, so with the adoption of that amendment, it looks like we're excluding several Minnesota colleges and universities from being recipients. Do we know which campuses, or do we have a rough idea of which campuses are included and not included now that the amendment's been adopted?
I think we can ask our testifier will be able to help with that. Would you like to introduce him?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This is Mr. Greg Ewig. He's a Senior Director of Capital Development from MNSCU. Help us with that.
Sure can. Thank you, Chair, Representative. Thank you. As it is currently constructed with the amendment, it would cover about 21 of our campuses out of 54 total.
So
21 would be eligible, 33 are not. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right. So would you like to tell us about your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so the second bill is similar to the one we just discussed and is focused on the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. House File 1788, the Renewable Energy Transition for Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. It appropriates $6 million to MINSCU to establish goals and benchmarks for a rapid transition to renewable sources of energy on campuses and requires reporting to the legislature on their purpose, or excuse me, on their progress. It has similar goals and benefits to the previous bill, I can certainly go back over those. I think we probably remember them. And maybe I can offer Mr. Uwig a chance to tell us a little bit about what's going on with MINSCU currently.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, representatives. First, thank you for the opportunity to address the bill before the committee. We think the bill represents a timely opportunity to accelerate planning and deployment of renewable energy on our campuses. The opportunity offers not only a clean energy supply, but also possible academic opportunities on our campuses as well. I'm pleased to report that our efforts in improving energy efficiency on our 54 campuses is starting to pay dividends. As of 2017, the system has reduced annual energy consumption by about 14% overall and achieved a 13% reduction in CO2 emissions over our 2009 baseline. As the final energy bills are tabulated for 2018, we're expecting another reduction in our consumption, about 1 to 2%. In other words, the investment in efficiencies is working and means that every dollar not spent on utility costs is a dollar that can be reinvested in academics and student services. That's why House File 1788 is well-timed. As we continue our drive for further energy efficiencies, it allows our campuses to jumpstart development of renewable energy options. We look forward to exploring the potential this bill offers, and if passed, we will consult with our campuses and use lessons learned from others in developing benchmarks, goals, and plans. And through this effort, we can advance a more sustainable energy position at our colleges and universities. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, members. Are there questions? I don't see any questions. Representative Ball.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So my question will probably be the same as the last one, since they're very similar bills and everything, and that is, once again, I'd love to see us spend the money on specific projects. In particular, I would imagine we have a lot of older buildings which would benefit from refurbishment, insulating and things like that, so as to reduce the energy consumed by heating that building in the winter and cooling in the summer. And just wondering thoughts on how much of this will be spent on planning versus how much will be spent on projects.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative, the intent of the bill is really to have new sources of renewable energy, and so there won't be a large portion of it focused on planning and on efficiencies. Really, it's intended for new renewables.
Madam Chair, so can you give me an example? Help me to understand what you mean by new sources of renewable energy.
So I think the examples that the university showed of putting solar over their parking lots or activities like that.
Okay. See, I don't think of that as new anymore, so I thought you had something new and exciting to share with us today. So.
Yeah, no, nothing new.
Okay, Madam Chair. So when you look at how to refurbish an older building, you're looking at possibly taking roof space for a solar array or whatever the case may be.
Potentially.
Okay.
We really wanted, instead of being overly prescriptive, wanted to leave that up to the colleges and universities, knowing that they know their campuses best.
Thank you.
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just kind of, this is a question to MINSCU, kind of, you know, as you look at your portfolio of cost, energy plays a part in it. Just kind of what percentage of is your energy cost as far as your cost structure, and then, you know, what are you spending campuses wide on energy?
Sure. Madam Chair, Representative, we spend anywhere between about $31 to $33 million a year as a system. So that's been pretty consistent. We're starting to bend the curve downwards with the efficiencies. It varies. Our largest is usually St. Cloud State or MSU Mankato. And they spend, you know, around about $3 million a year, and it varies. I mean, to the smaller ones are pretty modest.
Madam Chair, and then from a cost efficiency standpoint, kind of what have you seen in reduction? So if you looked at per megawatt of use, you know, what were you at? Are you lower? And then just kind of a snapshot in time. I'm guessing you don't have that, but looking back maybe 10 and 15 years ago on what you were spending on energy would be great compared to today and usage. So what is $33 million today in megawatt use, and then what are your costs back then? And that would be great. So,
Madam Chair, Representative, I'll have to get back to you on those details, but roughly speaking, you know, from our baseline in 2009, we've seen about a 13 to 14% reduction in overall consumption. So we can certainly get you those details.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I think I keep going back to the same question on some of these bills about the path of this bill. And again, I'm a little getting used to the new system with the new ways divisions. This says it's going to ways and means. Is this, in my opinion, should really have a stop at higher ed, so that folks on that committee can kind of dive in to see if this works with them as well. Can you update me on where this will go? Is it being laid over? What is the plan for this pathway, please?
I have talked to the chair of higher ed twice about this pair of bills, and because it is basically a funding bill at this point, the chair has said we do not need to see it. I mean, I talked to her as recently as yesterday, and again said, would you like to see this bill? And she was going to get back to me if she wanted to see it, and that did not happen. So we are going to lay this bill over for possible inclusion. And I would imagine the reasoning is that this, what we are doing, Representative Acoma is doing, is basically just offering money to the system and not changing policy, and for one, and that the money is to jumpstart some of the activities of the system. So it's not a change in that respect. So that was my conversation with the chair. So that's, I have had those conversations.
And Madam Chair, if I may, I think you are, it sounds like it anyway, you're sort of suggesting maybe it ought to go there because it's an important bill. It's up to the chairs, I get that. But with, you know, again, with last night, with Leader Winkler's comments about moving one bill from one committee to Commerce because of the timelines, and we heard earlier today there's bills that don't have the time to be heard, maybe in GovOps, that Representative Loeffler's bill just had. We are, the part I love about this process is the committees are where we dive in deep, and this is where we do the work. And I've heard that on the House floor from both sides of the aisle many times. It just seems like this year we are fast-tracking things that need more diving into. I appreciate your comments trying to maybe get a hearing in front of higher ed. I think it is important. I would agree with you if that was your intent, but I want us to be on camera and record saying this is important stuff that we have to make sure other members get to see this before it might end up on the House floor or in a conference committee, Madam Chair.
Okay. I want to make it perfectly clear I was not suggesting one way or the other to the chair of higher ed whether or not that committee needed to see it. What I did was show her the bills. I actually gave her the bills. But I think I can't read her mind, and I'm not going to try to, but I can say that this bill does not change policy. It is only offering additional money for things that both systems are already doing. So given that, I mean, if it were a change in policy, I would totally say yes, they need to see it, but we're not changing policy. So that is why it has nothing to do with fast tracking. It is just kind of the normal course of business here. So we're into the normal course. Representative Bierman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the testifier, Mr. Ewing. We've learned in this committee that at a lot of high school sites that energy costs are as high as the second highest item in the budget. Can you tell me where energy costs stand on the University of Minnesota's overall budget, please?
Madam Chair, Representative Bierman, I'm not sure exactly where it slots in the overall. I can follow up and provide that. But to give you some context, the biggest item is usually personnel, instructional costs. And then following behind that are usually building costs. So I'm not sure exactly, you know, in the rank order where energy lies, but it's up there. We can follow up and get that to you.
I appreciate that. I'm just, you know, looking at the bill itself. I appreciate Representative Akam bringing this forward and understanding that university uses a lot of energy, and this is, you know, it's a lot of money on one hand, but it's not a lot of money on the other hand. So there's only certain things you can do, and we are sending this out with sort of the implied trust that we often do for the university to use the funds wisely and to work toward this transition to renewable fuels, which is important for everybody in society. So the university spends a lot of money in, you know, there was the talk about whether it's going to be actually for use on specific plans, and we're going to get a report, I understand, on what you decide to do with this money. So that's very good. But the university spends a lot of money on research as well. So if it's just, if there's some planning involved, which you've had some talk about, I'm certainly okay with that. I mean, as far as the university goes, because that's what it takes. We use the university as a research institution, from everything from conservation to medical research to pharmaceutical health, studying soil science and agriculture. I heard on my way in that there was $5 million to study crop cover today. And, you know, that's all also very important. So I appreciate you bringing the bill forward, and thanks for your answers on that.
Thank you. I do not see Representative Swazinski. Are you going to offer an amendment? No. Okay. Then I do not see further discussion. We're moving faster today than I anticipated. Thank you, Representative Acom. You renew your motion that House File 1787 be laid over for possible inclusion.
And it's 1788.
1788. I'm sorry, we're getting confused. Great. Well, let's do a vote. It's as amended, and it's now going to be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And the last bill, we are going faster than I.
The last bill we have today is House File 1798. This is Chair Wagenius's bill. Chair Wagenius, would you like to move your bill?
I will move it and that it be re-referred to the floor.
Chair Wagenius moves that House File 1798 be placed on the General Register. That's the motion?
Thank you.
Great. Chair Wagenius, please tell us about your bill.
Members, this merely corrects some word changes in a statute that was passed last year. And as I'm sure members all understand, sometimes we do bills that we send to the floor that may be useful for a later time. And this is one of those bills, and I would appreciate your support.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there any discussion on the bill? Representative Garofalo.
Yes, as much as it pains me, this was the agreement that in exchange for blowing up the renewable development account, putting it under the control of the legislature. This was the agreement that in exchange for getting rid of the RDF and bringing it under the legislature's control and requiring legislative appropriations, we agreed that we would name it the RDA and not Sea Leaf as it was originally intended for, although Sea Leaf was a much better name. That was the deal, so yes, we should vote for it.
Further discussion?
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you. I do have a, I don't plan on offering it, but I do have the A1 amendment. Just wanted to chat a little bit about what's contained in it. I want to thank the chairman, or chairwoman, sorry, about hearing the biomass portion potentially moving forward. There's a very important other part in it, you know, from a ratepayer standpoint. Many have talked about its impact on rates throughout the state and especially within the XL Center service territory. And I believe, you know, there's the, I have House File 2006, which is, will cap the funds that are being transferred from ratepayers to this, the renewable fund. And I think that's a good bill. I'm not going to offer this amendment now because it has a wider scope than just that. But I just appreciate the chair's hearing on that and wouldn't mind talking about that bill in the future. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Representative Swazinski withdraws his amendment. Any further discussion to the bill? Seeing none, Representative Wagenius renews her motion that House File 1198 be placed on the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? House File 1198 is placed on the General Register.
Thank you, members.
And with that, seeing no further business before the committee, the meeting is adjourned.